That is just about the best sound there is. This is the sound of the rain on the roof of Mobile Podcast Command. I am on my trip to Michigan, and I'm going to just collect sound as I go. I made it up through Minnesota, up through Wisconsin, to just the east side of the Michigan state line. And I'm in a little campground here on Route 2, US 2 East, headed to the rest of the Upper Peninsula. We're going to talk about Michigan and the west coast of Michigan after a long day of driving. Started out at about 10:30 this morning, got up early, and started out about 10:30 this morning in the rain in the Twin Cities. And beautiful day, made it across the state of Wisconsin, and I came up 169 and connected with 77, I think it was 77, yeah, northeast, came all the way through the eastern part of Wisconsin to Ashland, just south of Ashland, Ashland County, basically, and then cut up into, I guess it's Ironwood, Michigan, which is the first little town that you come to when you come over the border into Michigan. So tomorrow, the rest of my trip is going to be taking the northern route by Superior, which I have not taken yet, in the Upper Peninsula, and then cut down to the bridge and then on down the west coast of the state. This is just a short little trip, you know, sort of end of summer trip. You know, there's a lot of places that I would like to go, but they're too far, so I decided to take a quick little trip into Michigan and do the upper part of the east side of Lake Michigan, so the west coast of Michigan, which I've never done. I've certainly been to Benton. People were amazed. They were like, how is that possible? Well, you know, we'll talk about it in this podcast. So I'm just going to use this this opportunity with the rain to remind everybody to subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, because in coming months, there's going to be a lot with that that newsletter that you're going to want to be part of. And that's all I'll say for the time being. But to subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, you go to thebobdavispodcast.com. On the right-hand side of the column, you're going to see some information that says how to subscribe to what's called the Bob Line newsletter. You just put in your email address and your name, then you're going to get an email that says, did you really want to sign up, which is a spam filter type thing on our end. And then you say yes, and you're going to get the newsletter. I'm putting it out once a month, and it's just kind of a review of the best podcasts that I think people should listen to at the end of the month. And that's going to get real busy in September and October as we head towards the election. So sign up for the newsletter, and you'll find out what is ahead regarding that. Well, when I'm on these trips, now that I am advertising for Kim Nybo, I see things and I think, boy, I hope they're insured. So I see a lot of people towing trailers, especially up here in the Upper Peninsula. You see people towing trailers with all sorts of equipment on it. And if you do tow things in your trailer or a car behind your car, you might think it's insured because the car is insured. But if there's no driver in it, it has to be insured specifically as a towable item. So ask yourself, is my trailer insured? Are towable items insured? And the reason I mention it is because of Kim Nybo's really exceptional customer service. This is the kind of stuff that she thinks about for you. You hear lots of advertising for the insurance business, not too many personal stories. And Kim Nybo has saved me hundreds of dollars in premiums. She's also saved me a fortune on the side of the road more than once. It's usually above and beyond what is required because Kim Nybo is all about customer service. Proud to refer you to the Kim Nybo team at Kim Nybo Insurance in Columbia Heights and Minneapolis. Cars, boats, motorcycles, trailers, auto, home, property, business, and life. Kim Nybo Insurance, 763-571-6111, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Kim Nybo at kimnybo.com. Yeah, so for starting out in the rain, once I got into eastern Wisconsin and got north and out of that weather pattern in the Twin Cities, the day was just beautiful. Beautiful light. This time of the year, it's just on the edge of fall, and you just get that beautiful, bright sun. And this far north, I think, for me, this far north, maybe it's true, maybe it isn't, but there's a feeling that the angle of the sun changes in an odd sort of way. It seems brighter. It seems clearer than it does in the Twin Cities. I doubt there's any real difference. Maybe there is. I don't know. But it's just great to get up here. And I have been up here since 2016 when I went across the UP at night. I don't know what I was thinking. And I ended up having to sleep at a gas station because I almost ran out. I literally basically ran out of gas. So I remember parking the truck and just staying in the truck at this gas station until the next morning when I was able to get fuel and go on. And I'm at a little campground called the Alpine Campground, which is right here just as soon as you get into the state pretty much of Michigan. Run by a lady by the name of Inga, who is German, and she's run this place for, you know, I want to say like tens of years, probably 30, 40 years. And she was saying today that she has never seen it this busy here. She goes, "What on earth is going on?" In fact, when I made reservations, she said to me on the phone, "What on earth is going on?" And I said, "Well, what's going on is everybody is hitting the road in their RV." So this place is jam-packed, and I'm down in this other section down low, and it's raining, and it was a little mushy when I pulled in, so I'm a little worried about Mobile Podcast Command pulling out tomorrow. I guess I'll wait until it's late enough that hopefully the ground will harden up. It seems pretty good, but we didn't sink in, but I'm a little concerned that we might get stuck when we pull out tomorrow, so we'll see about that. But yeah, this is a great short weekend kind of trip. It'll be longer than a weekend, and I want to take my time. And it's, I will say this, it is so great. And I know that Mobile Podcast Command really isn't officially like a camper or anything, but it is so great to be basically in your little house as the rain pours down on the roof. And before we go to sleep, which will be a while, but it's about midnight, I just wanted to take a quick moment here in the dark and just listen to this rain. So I'm in a campground by this little place called Forest Lake, Michigan, which is right near Lake Superior. And all day, been kind of skirting Superior, stopped at a town along the way on I think it is. And I'm sorry that I'm confused about these highways. And I want to talk about that briefly because when I'm traveling, you know, I've got the map and I'm working the map, and I'll put links up for most of the routes so you can see, you know, what highways I took and everything. But I just don't, first of all, I wouldn't listen to a podcast that had, here's how you go from here to here and here's the road that you take and everything else, because the fact is that I found this particular campsite today by complete mistake. I got off the road. I forgot to take a left and went straight. And the light was yellow and I had to keep going because I couldn't stop that quickly. So I just rolled on through and headed up the road and realized that I had to turn around. Turned around, came down another state highway, 95, which is an amazing piece of highway. I happen to remember because I was just on it. And then turn on to 64 and then came down here to this little sign that said campsite, 2 miles down a dirt road, rutted to a certain degree, enough the ambulance could get down through. Mobile Podcast Command found this amazing campsite right on the shores of this little forest lake, and it's perfect. If I had a too tight travel log, there's no way I would have found this place. And I'm trying to take my time. So I've been down along the Upper Peninsula, along the Michigan side, had never been up to the Superior side. So today I happen to see the Superior side, and it is really spectacular. As you know, if you don't listen, I'm not necessarily a fan of northern Minnesota. I often find it too cold. It's inhospitable to me, even though it's beautiful. But it's been a beautiful day just riding along Superior. So then tomorrow the plan is to head on down 41 to the southern part and come down along the Lake Michigan side, then head down the west coast of Michigan. But it's all about having a loose plan and taking your chances. And when you plan too tightly, you can't get these little gems that are by accident. This place is by accident. Didn't even get a chance to get firewood, so I've been foraging down here in the forest for firewood. And I think that's the best part of the whole thing, is just looking for places. I have to say, there's so many really cool towns in the Upper Peninsula that are fairly desolate, quiet. And we'll see what the Lake Michigan side, the west coast of Michigan along Lake Michigan is like tomorrow. You know, when you're up here, you see a lot of really amazing cabins, and you see things and you get ideas. And if you have dreams and you have ideas of things you want to do to your cabin or your house, then let me refer you to Whitetail Builders, Inc. of Andover, Minnesota. To build your dream, you have to have a builder who knows what they're doing, great craftsman, and is also going to be with you from start to finish. And that is Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders. There's a contact page at his website at whitetailbuildersinc.com, so you can tell him what you're interested in, or you can just call Randy. He loves to talk to people about their ideas, whether it is a new kitchen, finishing off the garage, putting in a bedroom suite upstairs, or a basement. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail is focused on the details, and they're going to be with you every step of the way. Whitetail Builders at whitetailbuildersinc.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com. Once again, call Randy at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. There's going to be a fair amount of talk about the history of manufacturing in this particular region in the country. And one of the things you're going to hear as I get into this podcast is the power of this region, the Great Lakes region in America, even still worldwide, especially when you include the Canada trade as well. And when we talk about manufacturing, I got to talk about my friend Mark Korn at Depot Star. With all the talk about foreign manufacturing, we often forget that Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio are still some of the best places in the world to manufacture. If your company is considering bringing some of your manufacturing back to the United States, remember Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit them online at depotstar.com. Well, it's really hard to hear because I am standing behind a semi-trailer in the lee of the wind. And I'm here at Ludington, Michigan, which is actually the final southernmost point of this trip. And I have to, we're right on literally right on the coast. And at the port here in Ludington, which for years was one of the major port cities in Michigan. And tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I'm going to be taking the ferry. Which is really a ship. See if I lean out over here. It just gets real windy. And it takes Mobile Podcast Command and yours truly across Lake Michigan on a 4-hour trip to Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And then I'll come home. And that saves me at least one tank of gas and a couple of nights having to stay in campgrounds and everything else, which I've had really good luck with this time around. But, you know, this is a ferry that has staterooms, and it has, a restaurant / cafeteria type place, and it has all sorts of facilities. And the peak year for this ship called the Badger was in 1955, I believe, because if you're going to go to Wisconsin, you either have to go up across the Mackinac Bridge and then across the United Peninsula, the Upper Peninsula, all the way over and then down, or you can take the ferry and go straight over, and that cuts straight over into central Wisconsin, and then if you want, on over to Minnesota. So I'm going to go back that way. It's kind of expensive. It's like $77 for the vehicle, and I don't know how much for individuals that have to pay. But, you know, it costs me close to $100, depending on where I fill up right now, to fill up the tank. So it would be a tank full of gas. And I want to talk real quick about I mentioned earlier that I'm not big on the whole travel log, and I took this road, and this is where it went, and I went here, and I went there, and I did all these things. Because most people are going to do what they're going to do. Some people like to stop in the nice towns and have lunch and have a beer, and they like to go to the craft beer places, and other people just don't do that. I'm probably one of the weirdest in the sense that my travelogues are basically run-throughs. It's very uncommon of me to actually stop. I like to just drive through and see as much as I can see from the cockpit of Mobile Podcast Command. So this morning started out in the UP, way up on the northern end of UP on 41. I'm pretty sure it was 41. And then I came down one of those highways that angles down from that high route. And that's that sort of joining point of Lake Huron and Lake Michigan. But day before yesterday, yesterday I got to see, so that would have been Saturday, got to see Lake Superior, which is amazing. Went to this little tiny roadside park, and I think Green, Michigan, and if I'm wrong about that, I'm sorry. It's been there for probably 70 years, and it's just a little roadside park by the city. Simple, old structures, wood structures, and bathrooms and things that aren't anything to write home about, and went out on the beach, Lake Superior. Superior, and this is for Minnesotans who are experienced with the Great Lake, is Lake Superior. But my experience as a Chicagoan was Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan and Superior are completely different lakes. And Huron also has its own personality. Huron is a much, you know, Michigan and Huron, to me, are much more turquoise blue than the gray of Superior, and they are warmer to me than the gray of Superior, which always seems so foreboding, and I always think of the Edmund Fitzgerald song. It's beautiful in the summer, and I know it's beautiful up in northern Minnesota in the summer. Of course, it's also beautiful, along the southern edge of Superior. So if you've never seen the southern edge of Superior, and you're used to going up to Duluth and seeing the northwestern corner of Superior, to come down here and see it from this perspective is really kind of cool. So I did that yesterday, and then you run along Superior for quite some ways, and you can take that all the way up to, I think, Sault Ste. Marie if you want to. I didn't. We wanted, my idea was to come down the connector across the bridge and then take the Highway 31, I guess. So we took the freeway for about 75 for about three exits, jumped on 31, and then I came down, down the coastline. And came down 31, and it's really interesting because on the northern side of the west coast of Michigan are tons of towns, Charlevoix and other towns along the way down, which are just amazing. Coming down 22 south through all these other little kind of resort towns. And, you know, one of the things I've been doing when I travel is sort of looking for these really cool places that I might want to live someday. And one of the really cool places, I have to say, is the west coast of the state of Michigan. My friend Jill, shout out to Jill Serbay and Myron in Ann Arbor, who are actually coming over here next week in their RV, for sending me a note and saying the west coast of Michigan is the best part of the state. And of course, today went to Sand Dune Park, which is the first sand dune park you come to along 22 south, and did the big hike up the sand dune, and that was really something. And you can see, you're way up in the air, and you can see Lake Michigan from up there. And but then there's all these other lakes. If you look at a map, you'll see there's all these other lakes right along that highway 22 north, and that brought us all the way into Ludington and a bunch of other towns, which I don't remember because I never do. And it's lucky that I'm recording now, because most of the time I just forget the names and I feel like an idiot, and I gotta grab the map and then I end up doing the travelogue. So I'm going to take the ferry back over. I'm not going to go all the way down to Benton Harbor and St. Joseph and places like that, because I grew up in Chicago, and we went to the Michigan City, the dunes in Indiana and all that stuff. And we went to Benton Harbor and we went to all these different places, and I don't need to see those again. But I'm coming back over here, and I might come back in the winter, because I might want to see what it's like in the winter. There are, I will say this, there are tons of state parks and tons of national forests and campgrounds. So it's been a great trip, and I will get some audio tomorrow on the Badger, which is the ferry. You can hear the sound of Mobile Podcast Command being backed into this ferry. I don't know why they backed it in, but standing right here waiting to get on this giant ship. So we're actually out over the water, right, you know, on Lake Michigan, on a 4-hour trip from Ludington, Michigan to Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And of course, one of the things that I think is really cool about all this is the fact that this is like the former industrial heartland of America: Manitowoc, Appleton, Green Bay on the Wisconsin side, and then all these port cities. And if you do any research on this particular ship, which is called the Badger, as I told you, this thing's peak year was in 1955, and it carried cars on top and semis and trains, you know, boxcars down below. So quite a history. And it runs for, you know, they said there's 135 days left, so it runs until late November, which is pretty shocking considering these lakes at that time of year. One of the cool things about this trip is the history of the Great Lakes region and great Midwestern cities and towns with so much history. When you talk about Chicago, Detroit, Akron, Toledo, and Cleveland, it's easy to forget the smaller places that formed the industrial heartland of the United States, and really still do. Duluth and northern Minnesota, as well as Michigan's Upper Peninsula for mining, Oshkosh, Manitowoc, Green Bay, and Appleton, Milwaukee, and Racine, and throughout the region, all these maritime small cities, Sault Ste. Marie with the canal, Petoskey, Michigan, I hope I'm saying that right, Traverse City, Manistee, and Charlevoix, and of course the ports and the working class towns on the Huron side too, the east side, Saginaw, Bay City, and Port Huron, all the way over to the other lakes, the far eastern lakes, Erie, and so forth.
Oh, 72. Oh, 72. Oh, 74. Oh, 74.
The French and Native American names go back to the early explorers and the first settlers all across this region, whether it is logging and iron, and of course the agricultural output created in the end a rich maritime industry all through here. This ferry is one of the last examples of that golden age of American industry and maritime trade on the lakes, but this is a very productive region. A lot of people used to call it the Rust Belt, kind of this forgotten region, but this part of the country is something like the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world by itself, and that's not history, that's now. If you drive that corridor from Milwaukee up to Green Bay, you're gonna see tons of major companies still manufacturing in the United States. And then, of course, From the mid to late 1840s, coal, iron, and ore, which is what northern Minnesota is all about, Wisconsin, and Michigan's Upper Peninsula, all famous for the ore and the schooners and the steamers and the ore boats, whalebacks, all the different kinds of ships that plied these waters, carrying ore, coal, grain, and all kinds of manufactured products pretty much throughout the year. And all of it connected all of these suppliers and output and so forth up to the railroads that served the region in these days, in that I'm talking about, the 1840s through the 1940s, for at least 100 years, and still do. The rail lines are huge throughout this region, and it's, again, we don't think of these things because we don't see them, you know, day to day. I have a train track right in front of my house, so I see trains go by all the time, but you know, you don't think of the fact that trains are carrying so much. And of course, these days there's a lot of shipping, you know, with planes and trucking. So some interesting facts about the Badger, which, if you ever get the chance to take the you know, the trip, is really interesting. So this is the, it's a little movie lounge here, and then staterooms down here, and then originally designed to carry rail cars, and it had a lounge and everything. But the thing that's really cool about it is that it...
Do you work
there? Oh, you can't go up there?
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
No.
Is that the rail house?
I don't know. I'm going to step outside here. Oh, I see. It's very windy out here. So, get back inside here. So it was originally designed as a rail car ferry, so it carried rail cars, and then on the second deck it carried cars, but then they had these staterooms that looked kind of like Amtrak staterooms, and then they also had a little lounge, and in the lounge, here's an interesting fact about the SS Badger, actually is a steam engine. It is not a, you know, diesel-powered. The boiler is controlled by, it's, you know, fueled by coal. So it's the last coal-fired steam engine boat operating probably anywhere in the United States. So this is the unique history of this ship, boat, whatever you call it, which is, of course, I think it's on the National Historic Register. So this is a, you know, historic little piece of history here. And like I said, the peak year was in 1955. So car ferries were the major cargo carriers for the ports of Ludington and Manitowoc during the 20th century. They transported a considerable amount of cargo, including canned goods, malt, and flour. Seven of these ships were built for the Pure Marquette line. Car ferries were also maintained, repaired, and remodeled by Manitowoc Shipbuilding. And this particular engine, this particular one, was built in 1952. And it's the last steam engine. But yes, the grain boats and the ore boats still go out on these links. And also, this bit of history here, the SS Badger, which used to take train cars and connect them up to different rail heads in what became the Chessie system back in the day. So this place, to me, is near and dear to my heart, the region I grew up in. And whether it was Chicago, Pittsburgh, Ohio, St. Louis, Minneapolis, and St. Paul, I just can't seem to get away from it. And then when I take a trip like this, especially in the summer, I think, why would I? Let's talk about business coaching a little bit. If you're in business for yourself, let's talk about business coaches, and specifically Les J. Hill. As Les often says, you know, when we talk about these little endorsements that I do, he said, why don't you just say that if you got into business to do what everybody else is doing, I'm not your guy. Les is not your guy. If you got into business to blaze your own trail, Les J. Hill is somebody you want to work with. And I am hearing great testimonials from people that work with increasing their business. Les is amazing at sales, but what he does is innovative business coaching. He's going to help you with better communication. He's going to make your company run more efficiently and more profitably. And he uses what I would refer to as a holistic and organic approach to coaching, which means you and Les develop unique solutions from your experience that address the unique business opportunities and challenges of your business. And if you're looking for three-ring binders and awards, Les has them like you wouldn't believe. He is an award-winning sales executive business coach with a lifetime of work experience in many, many businesses on the line and in management. And Les has the connections to get you the best legal and financial help you need when you need it. Finally, the key word with Les J. Hill is integrity. So improving communication, increasing performance, empowering individuals and organizations, which is so important today in business, and facilitating effective team building to help you establish and achieve goals. Les J. Hill, Creative Business and Personal Coaching, 612-867-0104, or check him out at lesismorecoaching.com. You know, I didn't bring it with me because I hate my printer. And I hate my printer because I hate paying for print cartridges because they're so expensive. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. And those Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Look, let's face it. If you're in business, the whole cartridge thing for the printers is a bane. You can get a free printer if you qualify, free delivery if you qualify. Cartridge World, serving the entire state of Minnesota from Maple Grove, 763-420-6632. 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Cartridge World. So thanks for coming along with me on this trip to wander and to travel and learn. These days, it's all I really want to do. Thanks for listening to podcast 947, The Bob Davis Podcasts.
Flocking to the sea, crowds of people wait for me. Seagulls scavenge, still ice cream.